Christmas Bunker Extra with Amanda Flanders.
One of those mornings it's all going wrong technically, but we're here. Good morning. You are listening to the Business Bunker Extra Radio Show on bizradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk/2. It is Friday, the 21st of June. I am joined in the studio today by our security expert, that will be Richard Bell.
Good morning, good morning.
Good morning. And our guest today is the lovely Sarah Halls from Izzy PR.
Good morning, good morning.
Good morning, good morning. And we have to confess, we were so busy talking before the show that then it all just went pear-shaped, basically, and it all just went a bit wrong there. But luckily I noticed what was happening and it's fine. So we're here and we're ready to talk today. We've got loads to cover. Actually, this was a pre-planned show, bringing PR and cybersecurity and security in together to have a conversation about the PR around security and security breaches and stuff like that.
Yep, your communications, how you manage your relations and your image and your brand and all of that. It's nicely dovetailed.
Exactly. I pre-planned it. You know that. It was.
I'm sure.
It was all worked out beforehand. but we want to hear from you, the listeners, as always. We've got some shout-outs out there. We would love some more. So do give us a tweet at Bunker Extra with the X, hashtag Be Extra, Be Bunker. How's your week been? Can you believe that it is nearly the end of the June? It's nearly the end of the first half of the year. Please don't mention the C word. Although, actually, in my industry, we are already mentioning the C word because people have got to start organising their parties for that time of the year.
We'll start landing in shops in 2 months.
Of course, for sure. Absolutely. But that's fine. But we do want to hear from you. So do give us a tweet. Do give us a call in the studio on 01233 220035, 01233 220035. And or, as always, you can email us, as we love to share what events are coming up, what's going on out there. So please do give us a email at bunkerextra, that's extra with an X, no E, at gmail.com. Everyone says, but extra's got an X in it. But yeah, but take the E off. Bunker extra. We like to confuse people, but do give us an email. Now, on last week's show, joining the studio, it was a very loud show last week. Seriously, I had to tell them to quiet down. We had the lovely Julie Daniel, the chic stylist, and our guest was Aaron Taylor from 6do. And wow, did they talk.
Yes.
Literally, I almost think it was the point where I had to turn their microphones off. But it was great, actually, because we were talking about... Aaron was telling us a little bit of his story about 6do, but also talking about, you know, websites and what your website should be. And his main message at the moment is about, you know, stop the sales pitch. It's like with everything now, sales is softening, it's changing. You're not supposed to be hard selling, you're supposed to be softly selling, and you need to do that with your website as well. So your website needs to be, you know, come in, this is the advice we can give you, this is how we can help you, not this is the service I offer, buy from me.
People will read into it, you know, if they see your expertise and your knowledge, they'll think that you're the ones to buy from anyway.
Exactly. So it was quite interesting, and was discussing sort of everything around that. But if you did miss that show, then if you go to bizradio.co.uk, click on the extra tab, and then all the shows are there. And last week was 106, and you can listen to it or you can download it as a podcast and take us wherever you want. We are podcasted people. Podcasts. They're the thing, aren't they? They've like gone mad at the moment. I know they've been around for a while, but everyone's into podcasts now.
It's nice to listen to, isn't it, in the car?
Easy to listen to, isn't it?
Easy, yes.
A lot more now. But businesses are coming up, certainly in the security industry. That's starting to pick up because a lot of people in security have got a lot to say.
Mm.
What better platform?
captured audience. Trick them in. Say, yes, my podcast is going to be about something exciting. And then you know they're going to put it on in the car, and then that's it. They're stuck with it for the next 2-3 hours.
Yeah.
But I guess that's the thing, isn't it? People want to utilise their time to the best, and travelling, when you're moving around and travelling, and it's a nightmare, isn't it? Because it's just time wasted at the end of the day, because you're travelling for anything from an hour to 2 to 3 hours, and it's like dead time. So, yeah, if you can listen to podcasts and catch up and learn, I think that's brilliant. So, yeah, all of the Bunker and the Bunker Extra shows are available for podcasts. So you can, you know, have a whole little series going. We are actually working on a new website to have like a whole series of shows podcasted together. So that will be cool. But do have a listen to that. And let's have a look. We've got a few shout-outs today. Now, there was one particularly here that I saw come through this morning. Where's it gone? Is it, why don't you see it? And then it disappears off the timeline. And it is, here it is, here it is. From the lovely Laura at Tenterton Twilight. And said, Amanda, can we have a shout out and say a massive thank you to all of us who wished us well for last night. So last night was the Kiba Awards, Kiba 2019. They had a great time, and Tenterton Twilight were a finalist, and that's a really good achievement. It was great. I mean, I think Blue Water won the Disability Advantage to Disability Award, and Tenterton Twilight came third, basically, which is an amazing achievement out of all the big ones out there. So well done, Laura. Big shout out for you. Oh, look, they've got this Richard, there's Sarah. I do love it when they put their faces on our timeline.
It's face cool. For radio.
Face for radio. Did you not see my reply? You've got a lovely face.
Oh, thank you.
And we also got a shout out from the lovely Tracy Ferguson, who we know will be catching up at some point over the weekend. And she's volunteering today for Optiva at their foundation literacy project. So I look forward to catching up over the weekend. Have a great show. Tracy, loving the gif. With it. Isn't that the nutty squirrel? Over the hedge, I think there's the raccoon and the nutty squirrel. But we love that. And there is a shout out from Fruit Bowl Media. Morning, Amanda and Richard. Can we have a shout out, please? Pleased to be sponsor and exhibitor at the Tech Expo. Fruit Bowl Media offer web design, digital marketing and podcast studio hire and media training. They're just expanding on the services they offer, which is great. Now, we've got some events to shout out about. There's a few coming up over the next couple of weeks. Can you believe this weather? It's like, doesn't feel like it's summer, does it?
No.
My
birthday's in the start of May. Normally it's very, very hot. Mm. It's very cold and rainy on my birthday this year, which is a bit of a shock.
It's not good, is it? No barbecue then this year?
No barbecue. Did have an 80s party though.
Oh, okay.
Which was interesting.
Cool.
Like an 80s party.
Yeah, everyone came dressed as the 80s. And
who did you come as?
I just went as glam 80s, so...
Just
myself.
Just yourself, basically. Just
the
norm.
80s woman I would want to have been, because I was 79 kids, so...
Everyone's checking out your picture on Twitter now to see whether you've got 80s makeup on now.
Yeah.
Well, I'll post some pictures from the party on there if you like.
And yeah, we do.
You can let me know.
We do like to have a look at those. Yeah, but apparently it's warm weather is on its way coming in.
Yes, we're on countdown to my daughter's birthday next Thursday, and she's checking every weather app website she can to check.
It's
that
terrible,
she's got...
isn't it? We dictate our life by the weather and what's going on.
Well, if we didn't have the weather, what would us Brits talk about?
Oh, exactly.
How would we ever start a conversation?
But to be fair, though, us Brits are pretty good at moaning about things.
Illness and weather, pretty much the topic of my conversation.
Traffic, weather,
traffic,
what's
going
on?
Parking.
Brexit. Parking.
Road wage.
Supermarkets.
But we're generally always very polite about it.
Sometimes.
Okay. Sometimes we're quite polite about it. That is cool. So I was just beginning, I don't know where to go now. Look, tweets coming in, emails. You can tell it's one of those Fridays, can't you? We were so organised and then bang.
You keep using this we.
We.
We don't do any of the organising this side of the table.
It's the royal we.
It's the royal.
I did help Amanda with a lot of chatting when
you did.
We got here.
Yes, no, we're good. Because we came up with loads of good topics to talk about today, but we'll probably forget what they all are because that's generally what happens. But what have you been up to, Richard? We always like to catch up with our co-hosts and see what they've been up to.
I've been working hard, developing new relationships with clients. Been doing some work in London town, specifically around... instant response, and we'll touch a little bit on the actual work I've been doing around how to talk when you're in an incident or when to talk. I know Sarah's got some good ideas and views around that, but I've really just been catching up with a lot of sort of personal life as well. Went to a lovely wedding at the weekend. A good friend of ours, James and Harriet, got married in Oxford. It was gorgeous. I was part of the usher group. Which meant that we were very busy early on until about 2. Then it went a little bit...
It didn't pear shape after that, did it?
It just went a little bit blurry after that. just trying to spend a bit of time with the kids and just trying to be a normal adult for a change.
Really? Is that possible?
Not always. but at Sense Intelligence we're doing... You know, we've gone through our sort of share some of the journey all the time. We've gone through our sort of internal review. We've looked at our objectives. We're sort of coming out the other side of that. And, you know, we're hoping to sort of announce quite soon around some partnerships that we're going to be dealing with on a global scale, which is really interesting. And, you know, I spend quite a bit of time supporting our team in the UAE and Dubai, and to make sure that, you know, as a group, we're functioning in the way that we should be, making sure that we're effective in the right places and developing business. So it's far cry from where I started off life in sort of pure security. There's a little more business aspects to it, but security is still my passion, and that's why, you know, there's nobody else in Kent at the moment that Amanda knows, so that's why I keep getting invited here.
To be fair, I know lots of people, but...
Insecurity.
Okay, insecurity. Now. But I have become a very much more paranoid person since I met Richard.
Yes, we speak quite regularly.
Yeah. Richard, this has happened. What do I do about it? Richard, this has happened. I got another one.
You're educating yourself.
I am.
Now,
no, I am. I do. I think about it. And actually, no. But I did get, I was checking one of my email accounts that I don't use very often the other day, and I had another one of those in spam, which was, I have put a bug on. So, you know, you carry on reading. I'm thinking, oh, God, do I need to message Richard again? And then I carried on reading, and it was one of those, we've seen what you've been looking at. And I thought, no, I'm not going to send it, because last time I got one of those, I just saw that, read the first bit going, we've put a virus on. I thought, I know this is probably a fake, but I'm going to take a picture of it and send it to Richard and say, just check it's fake. But then I carried on reading it after I'd sent Richard the picture of it, and it's like, we've seen what you've been doing, the naughty things you've been doing. And I messaged him, I haven't.
There was at that time, and they're still sort of lingering around.
There was one on the other day.
Yeah, they've sort of moved on a little bit, but it's a claim where the email purports to be somebody that's been videoing you through your camera on the laptop, that you've been watching pornographic material or images or stuff like that, and they're going to share it with the world unless you know, give them an amount of money or whatever. So, you know, once you take all the emotion out of it, no. As long as you can answer the question, have I been looking at porn? And if you can answer that with, you know, some confidence, you're not really...
I can actually hack in and see what you're doing. Is that possible?
It's possible. It's unlikely at that level. It is possible, yeah. Because, you know, we've got, you know, governments and other people that can do that. In a legal manner, hopefully more often than not. But it's unlikely that that type of email is going to purport to anything that's in fact true. But they don't base that on, you know, they're you doing it. They're basing it on someone doing it, because that email will go out across the world, millions. And I know of people that have clicked and have paid, you know, they won't do it again. The problem is around any sort of extortion, any sort of... data hostage or anything like that. The moment you start to pay, then you know, you're on a hiding for nothing, really, because they'll come back.
And it always amazes me that people do pay. That really does amaze me, that people just like, seriously, like.
But I mean, if you think in the world, I mean, I try to think like a criminal and then think like a protector. Mm-hmm. But if you
think, you know, the best criminals, aren't they? Are those that
set ones to catch one.
Yeah.
It's a very fine line that I sort of tried along the way. But what... I've lost my trail of thought.
Sorry.
No, it's gone. She's done me.
You think like a criminal, and I was talking about, I can't believe people that should go for it, but what you have to think about is that...
If you think about the amount of fraud that we see on... or the horror stories that you see on TV, Watchdog and all that, where... people are vulnerable, old, mm-hmm. You know, not technologists, don't understand, you know. It's only a generation up from certainly mine, probably not you guys. I can see why people do get trapped with it. You know, it's not difficult. Looking at it from a common sense point of view is, no, of course. But I understand why people, certainly in the vulnerable community, and that's why so much fraud is attributed to, you know, that vulnerable age group, where they end up emptying their bank accounts because they've either responded to an email or been spoken to on the phone, and they, you know, they might be lonely, and then they've developed a relationship, and then you hear all about this romantic fraud and all those type of things. It's entirely possible, but you know what we try to do at 10 Intelligence, certainly what I try and do, you know, not just here on the station, but whenever I go to speak, is just really try to simplify a lot of that and just take all the emotion out. And if you take the emotion out, then you can start thinking a bit clearer.
Yeah, and that's what makes the difference. I mean, even when we went to America, and it was really funny, we went to America last year, and it was just after the Facebook hack thing, and, you know, obviously they logged everybody out and you had to log back in and everything, change your password. And going through security at Gatwick, I got stopped 3 times by security. And in America, I got stopped by security. And so, of course, Paul's just laughing, saying I'm dodgy. And I'm thinking, I need to give Richard a call. Do you think somebody's, like, nicked my identity off of Facebook and they're using my passport for something? It goes to the other extreme. See Donald paranoid.
Trump, Donald Trump holding up the America's most wanted, Amanda Farr.
Yeah, exactly. Don't let this woman in.
but as a result of all of those sort of incidents, then you've next got to start thinking about if, as a business, certainly if you're affected or impacted by, you know, whatever actions has happened, it's about how you speak to your clients afterwards. And that's certainly, you know, the world that Sarah lives in and I sort of dibble and dabble in, is around trying to control that messaging and trying to be transparent and honest and open about what's gone on. Even though a lot of the emotion within that, you get a sense of, you know, I can't tell them because then they think we're rubbish and we haven't got the protection of all that. Open and transparent.
So then this brings us in nicely to what you're going to be talking about at the Tech Expo in September.
It is.
Because I must admit, when we were talking about Tech Expo last week on the show, I said, and Richard's talking, but I haven't got a clue what about, because obviously I've just put security, but it's from a different angle, isn't it?
It is from a different angle. It's, again, staying away from the technology side of things and the technical side of things and more in keeping with, you know, where Sarah works within her environment. I've called it Sorry Seems to Be the Hardest Word. And that's, and I won't give away
the
story,
but just give us an idea of what it's about.
It's about me trying to say sorry and apologise for an incident that's happened.
And that obviously incident is around a security breach.
There's a security incident and a breach and a number of other sort of consequential actions that happened as a result of that. And I get put in front of a camera to negate and protect the brand that I was working for at the time, you have to turn up to Tech Expo to see how well it went.
Exactly, on the 26th of September, 9 to 5 at the Kent Event Centre.
Almost professional, wasn't I?
but that does. That's, I guess that's the thing, isn't it? When you're looking at security as a whole, it's not just about protecting yourself against what can happen. You need to do that, but then it's also being able to deal with a situation that has happened. Absolutely. So if you are unfortunate enough to, no matter all your defences up, you still get hit, in how you deal with it afterwards.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've touched upon this again in the show, is around if you want to run a resilient business, you will plan for all of those aspects for that business, right down to your IT, you know, a new supplier and everything else. Part of that plan needs to be how you communicate outwards, as well as, depending on the size of your organisation, inwards. Mm. It's imperative that, you know, you do that, because you could be tirelessly working away in the background trying to fix all of this stuff, and 2.5 weeks later realise that you've forgotten to speak to your clients about this, or been trying to bat the phone away by sort of saying, oh, no, everything's fine, you know, oh, I don't know, and not telling the truth. Well, when those sort of contract renewals come around, it will have an impact on that relationship.
But it's useful to have a structure, you know, for your communications plan as well. You don't always know what the crisis is going to be, the nature of it, but you can have a structure of who do we need to tell, when do we need to tell them.
Yeah.
You create your messages, you know, reactively, but trying to do crisis communications knee-jerk doesn't make for good
outcome. So, again, something else from the media side of things, from the PR side of things, is being prepared for something bad happening.
Yes, exactly. Yes, you could, like I said, you can have a loose plan, you know, not a loose plan, but a more formal plan of, like I said, what you need, who you need to tell. You don't want, like Richard said, forget your customers. You definitely don't want to forget your stakeholders and your audience. So you'll have different messages for each. You'll have a limit of information you can give out as well. So you just need to have some planning time. So when a crisis does hit, you plan what you're going to say, when you're going to say it, what you can give, what you can say. Do we want media in? How's this going to look? Like Richard said, there's you sometimes think, well, I'm going to try and hide this from my customers and clients because they might, you know, they might not value me afterwards, but actually they value a lot more. Your reputation will be maintained if you just front it up.
Yeah. And that, I guess that's...
And it doesn't have to be on your own. I mean, you know, whether I appreciate, you know, sole traders and, you know, smaller companies may find this difficult, but everyone with responsibility within that business has a part to play within that. It's not just, oh, I'm going to ring Sarah and she's going to fix it all. Because Sarah will be able to outline some of that stuff, but she won't understand the business per se unless she's got a regular engagement with that business. So, you know, I would always say that you certainly need, you know, your PR or they change names, but, you know, PR, marketing, media, news people, and that sort of that's soft media and hard media, if you like, for want of a better word. Then lawyers, HR people. You know, if you're talking internally, you don't want to panic. You don't want to set staff off in a manner where they think that there's going to be problems as a result of this issue and they're going to face redundancies or consequences. You know, so this all has to be carefully managed. And you should be doing that anyway with good news. And if you could do it with good news, like you said, you develop that sort of outline plan, then the bad news is easier to go through. You're still going to go through pain, but you're going to limit the amount of pain you go through, particularly if you identify who's going to speak on your behalf.
Yeah, absolutely.
Going back to the PR side, I've been a journalist for 20 years in Kent, and so I've rung these companies to get the bad news story. I've knocked on the doors. I've, you know, tried to get interviews with people who just don't want to talk to you. So I've done that side. So coming at it from the other side, the benefit of having someone like me involved who has been a journalist is that they know what the media are asking for. Mm. They can second guess the questions. They know what picture they're going to want, what quote they're going to want. They know that they're going to want a statement or a live interview, pre-recorded interview. There's also that media liaison as well. I can ring a journalist. You know, if somebody, just picking on you, Amanda, if somebody, there was a crisis in your organisation, you might go very defensive. Oh, God, I don't say, you know.
Yeah.
Whereas I can ring that journalist and say, right, what do you need to know? What are your questions? You know, calm everything down, buy a bit of time, find out what the deadlines are. Sometimes they don't need your response in the next 10 minutes. Yeah. They're not going on air or publishing until 5 o'clock this evening. So you've got time to think about it and give a really measured response and just think about it and slow down. Knee-jerk reactions are never great. Sometimes they're needed, but you can always slow things down by saying, well, we know you need it by 4, but we're not going to be ready. We'll give you a much better interview at 6.
Yeah.
You know, you can kind of manage things yourself and lead the way a little bit. But definitely having that media liaison is good, because you can... We just talk to each other like journalists.
Yeah.
You might feel like they're gunning for you and trying to find out all the stuff. They're just trying to do their job and find out the story and fast. And sometimes that fast communication comes across as hostile, aggressive, that sort of thing. But journalists are journalists. You really can just sort of find out what they want, get the list, start ticking it off, you know. So
it's taking control of it again, isn't it? I mean, that's what this is, you know, we talk about crisis management or PR.
It doesn't need to get out of control with the media either.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But you need to be mindful of, like what you said, there's different platforms or different types of response that they're looking for or to be able to use elsewhere. You know, I worked in a big organisation beforehand where the media, you had to be careful about, not be careful, but you had to have, you developed a different plan. You had the same thing that you were going to say. You had a different plan to say certain things to different providers, particularly media, whether it be mainstream or TV. Because if you're going to Channel 4, they're going to be doing something. BBC is going to be this and ITV is going to be something else. So you needed to have all of that within the sort of makeup of what the response is. And the bit that I found I was reminded about was no comment just means that you're probably stupid, because, you know, that. If you've got no comment about it.
Because you're probably stupid.
Well, if you've got no comment, you're either stupid because you've got nothing to say, or you're being, you know, super defensive.
Never say nothing. Yeah. Even if you are verging on the no comment side, you all you can do there is just give an outline. This has happened. This is what we're going to do. We can't comment any further at the moment, but we will. And you kind of have a schedule for updating the media as well when there's a crisis as well. So when you know there's a, you know, I was in the police, in Kent Police as a media officer, and we had schedules. We had what we called gold meetings, which was all the stakeholders that affected coming together.
Yeah.
Out of that would come our next media statement. And we'd say to the media, the gold meeting's at 5, we'll have the statement at 5:30.
Yeah.
And then after that, the next gold meeting's at midnight, we'll have the next statement after that. You can come and film at, you can come and interview at. You know, we'd give them their timeline, so they knew what they were doing. If they said to us, well, actually, we're going on air at 6, we need it at 5, we would sometimes try and accommodate that as well, because it's always better to try and get that positive, supportive media than yeah. just running what they can because they haven't got
develop that relationship for that.
Exactly
incident.
That, yeah.
And we would have all seen that on the TV when, unfortunately, something horrible or significant happened in the world, where, you know, a person, a representative of the organisation, whether it be police or government or whatever, is rolled out and they give the factual statement of what they know at this time, really, isn't it? And, you know, that we're working round the clock and all of the other stuff. And then the next one's a bit more detailed. And then the next one's a bit more detailed, particularly in the police, because what you don't want to do and you cannot do is give away any opinion or anything that could end up sub judice.
Contempt of court, you're contempt up against, of court, yeah.
You know, spoil the investigation in any way, whether it, you know, and an investigation takes really quite quick pace at a certain time. So it's around trying to, in that scenario, you'd be speaking to the SIO and everybody else so that you know what messages are going to come, right down to the point that, you know, after Sarah's controlled a message for 2 days, on that third day, that final press conference or that next press conference may have a family member or something like that. So all of that is part of the journey in relationship with the press and what you're saying externally. That sort of groundswell support is about that press conference. You know, it is
a build-up of information. Yeah. At the start, you're not sure what you can say. It is quite a small amount you can give out hugely at the start, because, quite frankly, the press officer hasn't had a chance to write the statement. They haven't spoken to all the right people. You know, if a situation happens and, you know, a comment is required half an hour later, it's unlikely you're going to get much, because you just need that time to craft it and get the right information in. So
and I guess a lot of people were listening, were thinking, but, you know, yeah, but we're a small business. It doesn't matter to us. It's not something we need to consider. But that's not true, isn't it?
No
matter what size of businesses are, you need to have a structure in place.
Yes. And on my website, I'm just actually relaunched my website just now, but I've got a page on there about crisis communications, and it's not something you're going to need every day, but it's worth having my number or someone else's number who deals with crisis communications in your phone. And it's a 24-hour line, you know. If your crisis is kicking off at 3 o'clock in the morning, I was speaking to somebody the other week, and he runs a travel company, and he's got my number in his phone, because if one of his coaches in Bulgaria goes off a hill, he said, what am I going to do? I said, well, just phone me. And then you get me out of bed at 3 o'clock in the morning. That's, you know, when I worked for the police, it was 24 hours. Yeah, she was on call for it, of course, but I'm not going to get a call at 3 o'clock every morning by people. But
Depends who you give your telephone number, do.
I'll do it later.
But yeah, you definitely need to think about it and have a plan. And if you don't know what to do, then do phone someone like me and ask for a bit of help and advice. You know, you shouldn't cope on your own if you're not sure what you're doing, because you can kind of make it worse. But your reputation is at stake, and it's what you do in those early moments that really does affect your reputation and the fallout afterwards, really.
Definitely. And it again goes back to Richard's favourite saying, which is be prepared.
Be prepared.
Be prepared.
Dib, dib, dib.
Dib, dib, dib indeed. So we have got so much more to talk about. But we are going to have a quick break. You know, in technology, you know, I love technology, but when it doesn't work,
I just don't love it.
Sarah, could you just work up a little bit of a response for when the listeners
complain? Nobody heard anything. I'm not Amanda Holden, no, I didn't say
no,
it on
you're
live
not
television. We're going to have a quick musical break. You won't be surprised at the song chosen by Sarah. And when we come back, Sarah will be doing a statement for me for almost swearing on air.
Kind of dreams are free. On air. jobsintent.com. A quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent. With prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsintent.com.
This is Rift Channel Accounting, 2.
Your small business bodyguard. Riftaccounting.com.
The this Business Bunker is Channel Extra 2 with Amanda Flanders. The Business Bunker Extra with Amanda Flanders.
I think I might just quit. Let's stop while we're ahead. Welcome back. If you're a little bit confused about those adverts, I do apologise. Technology is having fun with us today. You are listening to the Business Bunk Extra Radio Show on bizradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk/2. It is Friday, the 21st of June. It is nearly the end of June already. It's like, my God, where is this year going to? I am joined in the studio by our, it doesn't work for anybody else, he's our, the Business Bunk Extra security expert, Richard Bell.
Morning.
And what he doesn't know about security is not worth knowing.
Still very safe in the studio.
Exactly,
Richard.
Very safe. Yeah. And our guest is the lovely Sarah Hawes of Izzy PR. And we've just been having actually a really interesting conversation about the crossover of security and incidences happening and how to deal with the media and the PR around that. Now what I want to do is I want to talk to Sarah more, learn a bit more about you and discuss this big word, which is PR.
Hurrah,
indeed. So you mentioned earlier in the show that you've been a journalist for 20 years. You don't look old enough.
Thank you. I really am.
Yeah. But did you go straight into journalism from school? Is that something you always wanted to do?
Yeah, I'd always wanted to do it. When I was younger, my mum and dad had a friend who was a cameraman with ITV. And he went out filming various places, and this is going to make me sound really sad now, but I was a very big stamp collector when I was a young girl, and he used to bring me back.
He used to bring
me all the stamps back from all the different Commonwealth Games, Olympic Games, big events he went to, because they always had stamp collections back in those days, and I used to always watch what he was filming, and he used to come back and tell us about it. I'd never wanted to do anything other than write, so when I got to the sixth form and was just about to do, I think, A-levels, around about that time, I said to the teacher, sort of the career teacher, was going around the class asking everybody, and I was at a grammar school, so you was expected to do something, you know, academic. And I said I was going to be a journalist, and she turned around and said, "Sarah, that's a man's world. You need to think of something else."
Wow. Oh, really?
"What's your plan B?" I said, "Acting." She went, "Ugh, grammar school girls do not act." I went to the same school as Gemma Arterton. She acts.
Well.
She's an actress.
Yes, I'll leave it there. So that just made me worse, really. I just thought, yeah, I want to do it. So I went on and did a broadcasting degree. It was mainly technical, so rigging studios, radio and TV, a bit of production work. Did my dissertation. Rather than sit and write thousands of words, I decided to do a documentary as my dissertation.
Oh, fabulous.
So I came out of university with a degree. And then before I came out, I was finishing in the June, and at the Easter, I went to work at the Kent Messenger, at the Gravesend Messenger paper down in Gravesend. And on day three, I was dispatched to get the editor of McDonald's, came back, ate it with him, hate McDonald's, but did it anyway. And he just said, "Do you want to work here then?" So that was the beginning of my paper career. So I was, I think, the only person on my year at university who had had a job to walk into 2 months later, so which I did. Loved it. Spent a couple of months on the Grey Zone paper, and then he moved to the Daily paper up in Medway. Asked if he wanted to go with him, and he said, "It's going to be a challenge. It's bigger, it's faster. You've got a month, see how you get on. And if you don't cut it, you're coming back."
Basically.
Yeah.
No pressure.
But I did cut it and was out there getting lots of stories. Did all my training there. Went through my training, my MBQ, my NCTJ, which is National College Training of Journalists. And that's a couple of years, and then I was doing crime reporting, entertainment reporting, court reporting, which I loved. You know, stick me on a murder trial, I'm happy as Larry.
Oh, really?
Yeah, love it. Yeah, love a murder
Juicy.
Trial. Yeah, I do. Yeah, I love a murder trial. And even when I was at the police doing it from the other side, I used to always want to go and sit in Maidstone Crown Court, sit there for hours and hours. And then I went my way up to a news desk, so I was helping put together the Medway papers, and then I took the reins of the Sydneybourne news desk under a senior editor, was working on that paper. So then redundancies came along at the KM, the first round, and I thought, I've been here 8 years, probably should do something else. So I jumped ship. I asked to go.
Done enough of the from the journalism side?
Yeah, I'd done 8 years of journalism. I'd had a little stint up at the Nationals as well on the Daily Mirror, but I hated it. I hated the hours. I hated the attitude. The news desk was a really hostile place to be. Wasn't like local newspaper, so I knew I didn't want to do that. So I applied to go into Kent Police as a media officer. Job came up there, and I walked into the interview, and the journalist who had trained me back 8 years ago at the Grays and Messenger was sitting there as my interviewer.
Oh, wow.
So we talked about wine. I got the job. Poor HR lady was trying to tick all the boxes if I got the relevant skills and experience, but we were just talking about Pinot Grigio, and that was enough for us. So
fair enough.
So, yeah, 3 months later, I started that once all security checks have been done, and then went for various PR jobs after that.
So then you went from the journalist side to then the other side.
Yes, ringing the police, saying, what's going on? Why is a dog bitten a kid? What's going on? That sort of thing. You've put the wrong window through on a drugs raid. To firefighting that stuff, and it was coming in, and it's a really busy job, but one I really loved. It was really good.
Does that happen quite often? Because it makes sense for people, businesses, to hire PR people that have been journalists, because then they'll know much better how to deal with the journalists when they're phoning up for the stories.
Yes, I think so. There's a lot of PRs out there who haven't had journalism experience but still can handle that situation. But definitely when you've been a journalist, you can second guess all the questions. You know where they're going to try and, you know, cut your legs halfway through. You can also speak off the record as well, which is a really useful thing to do.
Is there such a thing?
There is, yes. Only if you've got trust with the journalist.
It's code between journalists.
Yes.
Yes, it is. Yeah, it is. And I have had the code broken a couple of times, and there's no going back after that. Yeah. You don't get anything off the record once you've broken it. Mm. It is a trust thing. There's a lot of journalists around Kent that I still work with and know. And I know that with most of those, I could say to them, right, here's what's going on. Can't report this just yet. But here's the background. Sometimes you have to say to a journalist, the reason I can't give you what you're asking is because of this. You can't publish it. But the thing is, there's a lot of gaps when you're a journalist. You're being told information. You're thinking, well, why can't I just have that bit then? And there's sometimes a good reason for it. So,
I suppose the trick of, or the tell between a good journalist and bad, like any industry, that I know that there are bad journalists in there, is what they do when there's that gap.
Mm.
And I think, you know, you mentioned about the Mirror and that environment. And what the press went through, with the press, Murdoch and all of that, you know, it came out at court.
Yeah, that was dreadful. You know,
and just all of that stuff with poor Jamie Bulger and all those type of cases. That's the piece where people essentially don't trust journalists. So that's where that conflict starts straight away, isn't it? Because if I don't, I'm going to tell you something and you're going to make it sound like something else anyway.
Yeah, there is a bit of that, and you know, there's the old phrase, isn't there? If you know, you don't know the facts, just make it up. You know, you do a bit of that in journalism, not make it up as such, but you do kind of
exaggerate slightly.
Exaggerate or fudge. Fudge is another way of doing it. You sort of
fudge is accepted, is it?
Yes,
fudge it a bit.
But then usually, you know, if you're a good journalist, you'll end up, you know, getting the information to fill those gaps a little bit later on. But it is about trust. It is about trust, and throughout my PR side career, I have said to journalists, you know, when they've asked for off the record, I've said, oh, you know, I remember what you did with the last time I gave you off the record information. That's not happening. And you just shut it down. You know, you can't trust them again.
No.
But most of the time, you know, essentially the journalist world, we're friends as well. So you don't really want to upset your friends.
No. And so after working and sort of going to various different PR jobs, mm-hmm. where was the decision made to start up on your own?
I did the police job, and then I was having my baby. I took redundancy from there as well, just before I had my little one. So I went off on maternity without a job to come back to. Somebody called Miranda Chapman from Pillory Barn, an agency over in Maidstone, she'd rung me up about 3 weeks before I had my baby and said, how are you fixed for work, Sarah? I said, I'm not really, I'm just about to have a baby. and actually today was her due date, strangely enough, 8 years ago.
I was going to say, not looking.
Not now. No.
Wow.
No, I was sitting in a jacuzzi all day at David Lloyd in Dartford, like thinking this is the most inconvenient place to have a baby. It will happen today, and it didn't. She rang me up, and I said, I'm just about to go on maternity. And she said, okay, if you can come back to work in 10 months, there's a job waiting for you, more or less. So I went and worked for her at her agency, and that's where she said to me when I was there, "It's business in you, Sarah." And she kept saying it to me.
Mm.
But at the time, I was sleep deprived. I was
nothing made sense whatsoever.
No, nothing
then.
Made sense with a 10-month-old baby who didn't sleep. So it was hard to believe then. And she kept saying it to me. I left there after about a year and a half, went and worked for Essex Police, did some other PR jobs. And I just kept having that thought about, yes, I can do it. I felt like I knew enough. Having worked for the agency, I understood how the agency worked and then how other PR bits worked. And I'd learned a lot of skills. And I was working for the NHS and working in NHS. In 2015, I launched EasyPR, but alongside my three-day-a-week contract job. And it just got too busy. EasyPR just got too busy. I was job sharing.
So hard when that happens. You know?
Really? Yeah.
I was so busy.
I was job sharing at the time with the girl I talked about just now, my very first, news person and the person who interviewed me at Kent Police. She's called Theresa May, actually. Which is
poor her.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, she's stuck by my side for a long time. And she said she was job sharing with me, but also job sharing with me at EPR to take up the extra. And she said to me, "You don't need to be here. You could just fly." So I flew.
So you flew. So you did it. And yes. You run. And so that was,
That was 2 years ago. I went fully fledged solo EasyPR, and I've not really looked back.
That's brilliant. That's fabulous. And where I have to ask, EasyPR?
My daughter's Isabella.
Okay.
And there was already a Bella PR in America, so I couldn't have that. But she doesn't like getting called Izzy, so that there would never be a no
name. Love it. I love it when names just come from from nowhere, really. You know, from somewhere, but nowhere. You know, some people always try to have come up with a really name that means something around the business. And sometimes I think it's just nice to have a name that stands out.
Well, I'm not that cool. So EasyPR sounds cooler than I am.
It's good. It'd be EasyPR.
Well, my sister's PI. Not cool.
EasyPI, that would be cool. Yeah. PI. And you obviously something that you really enjoy doing. So I guess this is the one thing that a lot of smaller businesses may not be aware of or familiar with, but that, you know, they've heard of PR, they know what PR means, but then I don't need that, I'm too small or anything. But so just what exactly is PR? What does PR person do for a business owner?
So there's PR and marketing. There's quite a fine line between them. So PR is really your personal reputation, putting information out about your business, your staff, who you are, how, you know, expert you are, your training, your skills. And then marketing is kind of like the way you do that. So marketing is your advertising, your editorials you might do, your social media, your literature, exhibitions. That's the marketing side. But PR is really public relations, you know, relating to the public, who you are and what your business is. So so my days really are spent planning. I do a lot of planning work. So I have my clients that are on a monthly retainer, I have a plan of action for them. So we'll agree that I'll be writing a certain amount of blogs each month, finding something for their press releases, writing something for their website, for their news, some social media content. We might be looking at speak opportunities for them, what exhibitions they need to be at, speaking at, visiting.
I guess that's the thing as well. A lot of people just think, oh, PR, that's just about getting articles in newspapers or magazines or something.
PR is exactly that.
Yeah.
But there's a lot that goes on around. There's no point just doing a press release. You know, when I do press release, I squeeze as much as I can out of it. So it will turn into social media posts. It could turn into a blog. It could turn into several blogs because people try and squeeze a lot of stuff into one blog when you could probably write five out of something. So there's you kind of squeeze what you can out of a press release. And it's about knowing where to send these press releases as well.
Exactly. You know, I think that's a lot of people fall over is like, well, I want to get it out there, but I don't know where's the best place to send it.
Yeah, I would say quality over quantity is better. Mm. There's no point just, you know, creating this massive media list of 50 people to send it to when actually five would be much more, you know, much better. And in terms of, you can ring these people up and liaise with them. What do you need? You know, what kind of thing are you covering? You know, it might be that in 3 months' time they're covering your story. Well, don't send it now then. Work it up so in 3 months' time that you get a feature rather than a small, you know, bottom of the page story.
So
basically, you work with clients, helping them just to cover all bases with
covering
with
all bases,
PR.
But also to find their story. It's really important to find their business story as well, because people want to know about people. Mm-hmm. They don't just want to know that a new shop's being launched or there's a new. You're launching a new fire alarm or security alarm. They want to know why, you know, what has it come from? Who's developed it? Is it innovative? Is it something, you know, it's not something we've bought in from China. we sat and programmed it, we built it, built the software, you know, that sort of stuff. They want to know the ins and outs of it. And so that's, you know, it is about personal stories. And, you know, that's why reality TV is so interesting, because we could just stand and watch people buttering toast. Yeah.
Some people could,
yeah.
I can't stand reality. But
I do. I'm a Love Island fan.
Oh, God.
Oh, I know. I'm so sorry. But yeah, it's just the human element, you know, interaction is quite fascinating for people. And if I could sit in a cafe all day watching people, I would.
People watcher.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see. I get bored with that sometimes. I don't mind people watching for a while, but then I'm just more interested in it myself. I just say, oh, there, I did. I'm in it. Everybody knows me, knows that anyway.
I like people watching, but then I do selfies.
I like my More about me than you. We've just had a little tweet in from Stacey Tillett from the Stacey Tillett Marketing saying she's listening. Good morning, Stacey. I hope you've been listening the whole show and not just joined us for the last 10 minutes of the show.
What, the bit where you said you want to watch yourself?
Yes. Talking about me, and me again. I guess also, actually, a lot of people think that's what PR is about, though. People just, you know, all about me. And it's not, is it? As you say, it's about the story.
It's about the story, the business, the staff, you know, everything. I was speaking to a hotel yesterday, and they've got a they've just had a long service award, and they want some PR from that. And I said to her, "Well, what I need to do is come and speak to the people who have got this long service to find out how things have changed, who they've met through the hotel. I mean, this hotel has seen people like the Rolling Stones, Bowie performed there, you know, things like that. Well, did these people make his bed? Did they serve him breakfast in the morning? Did he give him a tip or something? You know, those small tidbits.
And I suppose that's where the journalism skills come in, is what's the story behind the story?
Yeah.
You know, finding that story. Yeah. Digging to find the story.
And I do like to ask a million questions when I meet people. If I haven't got your life story in 20 minutes, it's not been worth it. Whenever I go to weddings, my husband always says, talk to people, don't interrogate them. And I really have to try and stick on my hands not to do that.
Don't interrogate them.
He does. Don't interrogate them. Don't torture them with all your questions.
Well, unfortunately, we have fast run out of time, as we always do on this show. But we're going to move on in a minute to talk about the events that are coming up. But I know you have an event coming up, so do tell us a little bit about that, what you're doing in a couple of weeks' time.
I do, yes. I have an event called Maximise Your PR in 5 Simple Steps. And this will take you through 5 things. Find the story, write your intro, pitch if you can't do a PR, write for your journalist, and squeeze out every inch. We've covered some of this anyway. and it's on Friday, July the 12th at the Wellbeing Centre in Raynham. The links on Eventbrite, I'll pop it up on my socials as well. And it's just really for people to come along and find out how to do their own PR. Not everyone can afford to have outsourced PR, but there is a lot you can do yourself with just a few hints and tips just to get started. But the main thing is find your story. So at the end of the workshop, it's a 3-hour thing, you will know your story. You will probably have written a bit of it, and you won't just go away thinking, oh, I'll do that later. You'll go away thinking, I've got it. It's going to turn into a news story. It's going to turn into a PR. I'll also be sharing some of my media contacts as well, which take a long time to develop, but I'm happy to share those with people and put them, you know, in front of those editors to boost them a little bit. So there's quite a lot of value to it. So I'm looking forward to having a busy room for that.
Yeah, that sounds really good. So just remind us again of the date and the time.
Friday, July the 12th, 10 till 1 in Raynham.
In Raynham. And to find out more about that and you, the best place for people to find you is?
izzypr.co.uk.
We love it. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing with us today. And
you're welcome.
As I say, it's one of those things as a business owner, isn't it? It's that you have to keep on adding all these extra things to what you need to do as a business owner, and obviously being secure and having PR and being ready for crisis and that type of thing. So it's really good when you've got companies like yourself, people like yourself, who are there to help businesses with the areas that they need. So that's great. So talking of events, we have got some events coming up. So you've got one there, which is for next week, isn't it?
The 26th of June at Lyd Golf Course, Marsh Network, Charity Gold Day. Gold Day or Golf Day? I don't know.
Golf Day, that should be.
Golf Day. In aid of...
Read round the typo.
He's a man, he's doing as he's told.
Yeah, exactly. He's just reading it word for word. Exactly. Oh, God.
In aid of Calm, who support older people living in isolation on Romany Marsh. Bacon Roll, 18 Holes, Meal and Raffle. Donations welcome for the raffle. For more details and to book your place, go to marshnetwork, all one word, .co.uk. Or email terrybotfield.net.
And if you also follow at TD Botty, we love saying his Twitter handle on the Twitter, I'm sure you'll find out more. Coming up into July, because it's not that far away now, Thursday the 11th of July, we've got two events going on for you on this day. One in the afternoon, one for the evening. So 2 p.m. to 4:30 p.m. at Bridgewood Manor, ZC Social Media with the lovely Zoe and Gareth Cairns will be hosting their next ZC Social Media Academy. You can go and learn some quick wins and the latest news and updates on social media. It's always a great place to go to touch base with what's going on in the social media world, what's new, what's coming, where's the best place to be, what to do. And Zoe and Gareth are always really full of useful information and they always help you. So do go onto that. It's free to attend, but they do ask that you book just so they know how many people to allow for. If you go to zcsocialmedia.co.uk, click on the events and you can find out more about that and book onto it. And then in the evening on Thursday, the 11th of July, 6:45 p.m., the Innovation Centre in Chatham is the Business Diaries, the next Business Diaries. We love the Business Diaries. It's such a great place for a little bit of what we like to call social networking, but you get to hear stories. It's not a time for pitching products. It's a time to hear about personal experiences of fellow businessmen and women. The stories might be amusing, challenging, inspirational, or perhaps a little sad, but they'll definitely be worth listening to. Just £10, go to Eventbrite, the Business Diaries. Now, I'm sure I saw a post something about somebody I know speaking. Are you doing in July?
I'm telling the story, yeah.
You are. So in July, we're all going because Richard is going to be one of the speakers. So that is going to be worth going to. It's always a fun evening, but you do get to
drink, hopefully.
They always have Prosecco, but they normally hide it for me. The Prosecco's all mine. But, you know, it's really great. It's a mixture of socialising and networking at the same time, which is great. So 11th, get booked onto that. The places go fast. And I've got time for just one more. Quickly, put it in the diary. 26th of September, 9 a.m. till 4 p.m. is the Tech Expo, a one-day exhibition and seminar bringing together industry experts to help business owners to understand what technology is out there and how it can help them run, build and grow their business more effectively and efficiently. We've got one of the world's top technology companies, Microsoft, providing our keynote seminar, and they'll be sharing with us how they are working to support businesses of all sizes. And we are also looking at one of the biggest fears we all have, staying human in a digital world. We've got a great lineup of speakers. We have great workshops. We've got round tables, panel discussions, lots going on, but it's for business owners to understand what technology is there. If you go to techexpouk.com, you can get all the details. And if you are a supplier of a tech-based solution, we still have a few exhibition spaces left. So again, go to techexpouk.com. We have come to the end of another show. I'm going to try and switch off now, providing nothing blows up on us. I will be back next week. Back, yeah. I've been joined in the show by the young Ben Abbott. And we are in the studio. We have Barry Thompson from Mean Now. Unfortunately, it's not Barry and Tom, it's just Barry. So join us next week. Paul's got another great lineup of guests on Tuesday, so don't miss the Bunker Show. Have a great weekend, everybody, and we'll be back next week. Bye for now. You can say bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
The Biz Bunker is Channel 2.
With Amanda Flanders.
This is Channel 2.